for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you. This is the 2013 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, May the 27th, 2013, Richard Tate is the speaker of this service teaching on restoration.
Well, it's a wonderful day. Praise the Lord. Just got the hardcore here.
Hallelujah.
The Wednesday Nighters, you know. It's been a wonderful time. It's such a, for myself, such a good spirit. It's just really been, you know, we do a few of these a year. We're either in, going, coming, or whatever. But, I mean, it's really been a very, very good spirit. And it's wonderful to have that sometimes, because sometimes it's a battle before, it's usually a battle before you get here. But sometimes it's a battle, you know, while you're here. And then sometimes a battle after you're gone. But this has been wonderful. And just encouraging, just overwhelming to me in some respect. While they were going through the song service, I got some notes. Probably doesn't mean much, but I got them anyway. And I had a lot of blood in there, invested in there. Tears, sweat, and all that stuff. And then I got some stuff this morning that's kind of interesting. When Kevin was talking about in that line how you've got to forget that guy for jumping in there, and they're always jumping in. But this... You know, they don't jump in here like they jump in California. I mean, you get three or four of them in California, and they just... Anyway. But it says sometimes, when you're in that express line and they jump in like that, you have to inform the person that they're in the wrong line. Now, the problem there is it might be a problem with attitude. So you've got to approach them like you're really sure they just don't know they're in the wrong line. And then you've got to hang on because they're probably going to inform you they do know. They just don't care. You know, and you've got to watch your attitude all the time in these places. And that's all, you know, and God will tell you this if he hasn't told you already. Your attitude belongs to you. It ain't his problem. He ain't going to change your attitude. He won't change it. You've got to change it. You own it. And I find out God gets pretty concerned about our attitudes. He said, how can I lead you here when your attitude is you don't want to go? How can I lead you? I'm not going to drag you. The enemy drives. I lead. You don't follow. And then we sing that song about put your hand in the hand of the master. And that's where it belongs. You don't want to take hold of his hand. I'll tell you that. And I'll tell you why. Because when the going gets tough, you will let go. I mean, I've let go a lot of times. A lot of times. To my own hurt. We need him to hold on to ours because he will take us through. Because he's going. And if he's got you by the hand... You're going. He's really in the driver's seat. A couple other little things. Just my scribble notes. His mercies are new every morning. And an hour after you get up, you should be rejoicing. I mean, I'm believing getting saved every morning. And I'm not laughing. I tell you, because who knows what happened during the night. You know, I'm believing that. I said, Lord, let's start all over again today. You know, for a long time that terrified me because I thought, man, I lost. Because I already felt like I lost everything. I was backslid and I don't know where I'm coming or going. So I knew it, you know, it was all over. So I thought, well, I guess we start square one again, you know. But I found out, you know, during the day that I hadn't lost anything. Even though the enemy had tried to convince me I hadn't lost nothing. But I was gaining. And I like to start out in the morning. I like to start, well, everybody knows here, I start in the morning saying, well, hallelujah for the day, because a whole lot of people went to bed last night, they didn't wake up this morning. Yeah. All over this world, people went to bed last night, did not wake up this morning. So I'm crying because I'm cold. You know, get out of here. We'd be lucky we got heat, because during Christmas time, we didn't have much. We didn't have heat, didn't have power, didn't have anything. And on top of that, I got stuck at a hotel in the parking lot and couldn't get out. I couldn't get back to where there was no heat. But there was heat there. And there was warm breakfast and there was everything. I was quite happy. Although I was acting real spiritual, like, hallelujah, I'd be there if I could. But I was feeling real good, boy, because I'll tell you, we had big breakfast in the morning. I was thinking, I know over there it's dark. And they're eating whatever they can get a hold of. God bless them, you know, supply their needs. And thank you for keeping me here. Well, I mean, that's the real deal, you know. I mean, we say, oh, hallelujah. But, I mean, I know down what's happening down inside there. There's another thing I want to mention. Just came to me this morning while Crystal was leading us about the army. And, you know, for a long time I taught on there's no armor in the back of your thingy that you got on there. Because we don't retreat. God's army does not retreat. You take a look in Joel, they straight forward. They don't break ranks, they don't retreat. Well, there's another reason for that, and it has to do with that, but it's a little different in a way. We're always going forward. See, we got this, I don't know, we had it in the 50s. It was real bad in the 50s, and I hate to date myself, but I was back there. And we were holding the fort. We used to sing a song, hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus answers still. Wave the, and we used to wave our hands, wave the answer back to him. I'm hanging on. Get the rapture here. I'm ready to go. I'm hanging on until they get there. Well, that's so inscriptional, it's ridiculous. God's army don't go backwards. And listen, tell you, this is what I want you to know. When the devil's resisting you, he's resisting you, trying to hold on to what he stole. He's not pushing you back. He's trying to keep you from pushing him back. Hell is not surrounding us. Contrary to popular belief in the church, we are surrounding hell. Amen. Everybody starts out there, and God's pulling people out. So hell really isn't getting larger than it would be. It's getting smaller because he's pulling people out of there. So when you feel that thing going, and you feel that guy on your ear whispering, trying to convince you it's you and all that stuff, just say, you know what? I'm taking your home. And then we're going to tear it down, and we're going to rebuild something on it that glorifies God.
Amen.
And I'm standing against you. I don't resist you like, oh, don't hit me. I'm resisting. I'm in your face. You back up, boy, because you got to. It's written, you've got to back up. You have to give ground.
Amen.
You have to. We're fighting like, oh, God, don't get me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it scares me to hear that. I remember Jim Petty, Ron Petty, when he was here, he said, and he sees things, and he really sees things, and he said when he came in that door, he said he was convinced he couldn't get in. He said there were so many warring angels in here that he saw with his eyes, with open vision. He said he didn't think there was room for him to get through the door. So we really ain't holding the fort. We're taking things. Well, now we'll try to go somewhere. Lord, just help me because, boy, I need all the help I can get here. My notes go south on me, and half the time when I get in there, I can't figure out what I wrote. So I want to talk a little bit about restoration. I've spoken about it a lot, but never from this angle and never about this particular restoration. If you're saved, you're saved. You know, you're in this thing. If you're not, you need to repent. Or you're not in it. And God wants to restore some things that you've lost. And if you've been saved very long, I mean, and I'm not talking about Bible verses. I'm not talking about what some prophet prayed over you. I'm talking about things that you know that God has spoken to you. You know God's put in your heart. Everybody's got a burden. Every born-again believer, they don't come without burden. This thing comes with a burden. Somewhere within this structure, you've got a burden. There's some place you lean towards. You know, and it's scary because we try to make the part the whole. If it's a deliverance, the whole gospel's deliverance. Or if it's a kingdom, the whole God's kingdom. Or if it's healing, because it's so much a part of us, we expand it out and we get intolerant of people who aren't open to it. But they've got other things that they're burning in their heart. Just burning in their heart. You know, I think about Jeremiah a lot.
Yeah.
You know, because the poor guy, I mean, he's a priest. He had his life all set up. He was in business. And then God said, well, this is what I'm saying to you. You know, that's not nice. I mean, he was one of those people who had it all. He had a profession, the whole thing. He's in the right tribe, in the right everything. And boom, God just said, well, that's not what I want. I'm doing this with you. And they're not going to like you. They're not going to like what you say. They're not going to obey what you say. They're going to fight you all the way. But I want to say it, and I'm pretty much doing a few people, so I just picked you. In fact, I picked you before you were born. So your life is kind of already in the mix. And your life is already in the mix. He picked you before you were ever born. And we're playing with God like, I don't know if I'm going to serve him. I don't know if it's good. Does this benefit? What do I get out of this? I hate songs about God to say I. And I hear a lot of them. The church is full of I. What, man, I've been in services where they sang 9 songs and it wasn't one of them lifting him up. Everything ended up. What he could do for me. How he loves me. And I said, when you get there, there ain't no me's. It's him. If you get there. But I'm not sure I'm going to get there if it's all about me. That's, I mean, God's, he's real strong about some of that stuff. And he really is. He said, lift my son up. The Holy Spirit comes to lift him up. You know, I've said many times, you know, in the Trinity, you know, that they're continuously bowing to each other. And, you know, God said, I created everything by my son and I created it for him. The Holy Spirit says, come lift him up. And then the son turns around the end and gives it back to the father that the father might be all in all. Just a wondrous thing that we're so ignorant of. But there's this continuous bowing and exalting one. Nobody wants to be top for top's sake, even though they are. This thing is, these iPads, I don't know about these iPads. In Acts 15:14, I'm in the King James. It may be the Bible God wrote, I'm not sure. Pretty much the one he wrote for me, because my Strong's goes right with it. If it didn't, I have something else, but it works pretty good there. And these real inexpensive iPad Bible things work real good in King James. Better than them $300 or $400 ones that are whatever. They do whatever if you can figure out how to do anything with them. In Acts 15:14, it says this, Simeon have declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue, or the rest, of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. There are many things within this tabernacle structure. There are many things within God's presence. And some of the things that are in God's presence are things he's promised to you. I'm not saying going to promise, has promised. Things you've known, some of you, for years and years and years. Callings that you may have neglected. Things you may have forgotten. Things you may have lost. Things you may have misplaced. There's many ways that these things go away. And you'd be sitting there, well, he could have promised you something 30 years later. It hasn't happened. You know, and you've been off on other things, and you knew God was leading you there. But it's like high speed in high places, you know. She's going to the mountains, and he takes her off on the seashore out there, the sea of loneliness, where there's nothing out there. And she's saying, how am I getting to the mountains? I'm going the wrong way. This isn't what God has in my heart. What am I doing out here? But see, he's got purpose out there, and through that, and I can say that from experience, that through that you learn many things you're going to need later on that you don't at the time think are even important to what God's called you to. But they're there. You know, because like Kevin said, God's dealing with hearts. Man. Because you're going to go with your heart. I don't care what your head says. Your heart is going to rule. Because it always does. That's why, well, I won't say women. Just women and men both. They fall in love lots of times with people that they never should. Because their heart rules. Their heart rules. We do a lot of things our heart rules that we shouldn't be doing. It just rules. That's why he said, you know, where your heart is, your treasure is going to be. Not where your head is, but where your heart is. And that's why David said, change my heart. You know, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And we've talked about that before. You know, it's not enough to change your heart. You need a new right spirit. Saul had a clean new heart, brand new. And he corrupted it because his spirit was all wrong. We need a, you know, renew a right spirit in me so that with this clean heart, I'm looking in the right direction. I'm still not looking the way I went the other way. I'm just going to corrupt this thing. Many of you had promises, callings, things, gifts, giftings, just to name a few that you know. And somewhere along the line, they got lost, dropped, went another direction. Boy, I can testify that. You end up, you're not going there because you want to, lots of times. I remember we were having meetings in our home with Lee Ellenwood, and it was real nice, and I thought it was real great. We were having a really good time, had a lot of people from different churches coming, and just way back. And then one night, and we were sitting there afterwards having a little coffee and just sharing what had happened in the evening. And he says, Richard, he says, I think out of all these people that are coming, because they were coming from all different churches, he said, I think God's going to start something with you. And I turned to him, I said, can you leave me alone? Just leave me alone. I am fine doing it this way. I'm going to conferences. I'm in a church. I'm in a really good church. My Sunday school teacher was Robert Thompson, which some of you may know. It was wonderful. See, there wasn't much responsibility. And God was going to take me in another direction. And yet he'd already spoken some things to me that I knew were not going to be in that direction. They weren't. And for 25 years, we pastored a little church out there in California. And I'm like, what are we doing? But finally, I gave myself over to it and just went headlong at it. And lost in my heart, I think, you know, that this was ever going to happen because I was just going another direction. And yet it hadn't. See, because God's gifts and callings are without repentance. He don't change his mind. But he has his seasons and his times. And this is a time right now of real restoration. I'm so far ahead of myself, I could probably finish in 2 minutes here. There's a lot of things involved. Salvation means many things. In Psalm 51:6, it says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and uphold me with a free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors and sinners shall be converted to thee. Restoration, in this sense, in this place, means liberty, deliverance, prosperity. Literally what it means. In salvation, its definition has three parts. And this is what it is. Liberty. You're forgiven and set free from all our sins. Not just some of them, all of them. Either he forgive me all of them or he didn't forgive me any of them. It's either like he's Lord of all, he ain't Lord at all. And that's the truth. You know, it really is. And for most of it, he's not Lord at all. Huh? Be truthful about it. I mean, he's talked to me a lot lately. I've talked to you a lot. I'll pass it on. About ownership. Either I own you or I don't. Which is it? Because I don't rent and I don't lease. You know, and that's a gospel that nobody's talking about really because we don't, because in this country we don't want to be owned. Nobody owns me. I'm a conservative. Or I'm a liberal. Doesn't make any difference. It's still all about, I do what I want to do and just leave me alone. Either leave me alone to do what I want to do or leave me alone to not do what I want to do. Either way, leave me alone. God said, I'm not leaving you alone. Because I didn't make you for you. I made you for me. I made you for me. You sold yourself out and I bought you back. And I paid a price to get you there. But you're mine. I own you. I am not renting you. I'm not going to work with you. I own you. And somewhere you have to come to that conclusion and surrender to that, or I don't know where you're going to end up at. Because in the end, you're going to face me and I'm going to ask you, do I own you or not? This is such a serious time that we're in. I've said this before. There are many of the old saints back, way back, go back a couple thousand years, who would love to live in the day you're living in, would give anything to live in this day when God may be ending this thing and wrapping it up to see the glory that He's going to bring forth in His people in these last days. He's going to cover the earth with His glory through His people.
Amen.
He's going to send lighted ones into places of darkness. There's never been light there.
Amen.
And some of them might be right here. I'm surprised that there's people in the Bible Belt that are non-religious. How can that be? But I know a couple. I can't say, but anyway, I met a couple anyway. And they are just, and I said, you've been here all their life. And they're just, it means nothing. And these people go, yeah, are you saved, brother? Oh, they get so tired of hearing that. You can see it. Get away from me, that stuff. I hear it. Never heard it. Wasn't part of my family, and I ain't looking for it. Don't need it. Don't want it. I'm successful. I have a person I play pickleball with. He owns so much stuff around here, it's unbelievable. And yet, if you met him, you'd never know it. He's a good old country boy. You just never know it. You don't dress like it, and he ain't going to dress like it. I dress like what I've been wearing all my life. Why would I change my Levi's? I've been wearing them all my life. That's not the same pair, I hope. You know, but just, hey. But I mean, he's just not changing because the status quo says if you have all this money and you're going to go here, you need to dress this way. He says, no, I just dress the way I do. If you don't like it, then you don't need my money. And that's just the way he is. But he's a wonderful guy, but he's a wonderful heathen. You know, just his idea of a good time is going down to Louisiana and getting drunk and eating shrimp and playing cards. That's his whole idea of a great weekend. I'm thinking, but I mean, that's it. And he's smiling, happy. I'm leaving, man. Boy, here's what I'm going to do. Have a nice day. You know, you're not interested in the gospel, and it's not for you. I'm wasting my time telling you something you don't want to hear. I better tell somebody something that really wants to hear something. Just looking for some kind of answer. There's a problem in their life. There's an answer that they're looking for. Prosperity says, okay, looks for, okay, first you got liberty. That means to be given, forgiven and set free from all your sins. A-L-L-O. So don't hold any back. You know, don't believe not the unpardonable sin, please. You know, just let that one go too. And then we got deliverance. We wouldn't know about that here. But freedom from demonic oppression.
Yeah.
That's part of it. It's liberty, deliverance, and prosperity. And in prosperity, it says, in the beginning, he gives you precious promises. He never changes his mind. Maybe we're neglectful. Maybe we get lazy. Lots of times I've found that we get involved in things. Now, I'm not saying they're not God. We get involved in things. And just it's just kind of, it doesn't work there. Some of the things God spoke to me plus 40 years ago have happened in the last 2 years. And I'm telling you, never happened before. Never. But I just believe, I finally got to the point where I said, God, if that's you, you're going to have to do it. Because I've been working on it for a long time. Nothing's been going on. You know, and you've taken, I went different directions and against my will almost, you know. And I'm out there pastoring when one of my, I never had a burden for that. I don't have a real burden for the lost, to be truthful with you. Because it's not that I don't care what the lost, but my burden is for the lost in the church. My burden for that 99 that we lose the first year after we get saved. That's my burden. I mean, not for the one, or you know, not for the 100 out there or the one that's there, but the 99 that we lose out of 100 in a year. That's what my burden is there. And the Lord has spoke to us and just help them get their sea legs, for this Navy term, which I wasn't in the Navy, but it's a term I picked up, you know. Help them get their, help them, just help them, hold on to them, help them to where they can stand on their own. And then I'm going to move them out and they're going to go on their own. Well, you know, sometimes you get people who never get to stand on their own. You know, 25 years later, you still got some people. But you know, you just go on because God also said, and I'm going to build something here. I'm not interested in quantity, I'm interested in quality.
Amen.
I'm interested in making a weapon that in the Spirit I can use right on your knees. I can use it. You don't need to know what I'm doing. It's not important for you, but I can use you. If you just give yourself over. Give yourself over. So the prosperity he's really looking at is like in John where he says, you know, I pray that you'll prosper as your soul prospers. You know, we need soul prospering. We need to prosper in spiritual things rather than natural things. I think the natural things may go south pretty quickly. And that's probably going to be a good thing. Not all of them, but I mean, you know, the ones that make us, the ones we don't need, like most of them. Because it's going to bring us back to where what's really important. We found out during the Christmas thing was important. Light, you know, was pretty important. Heat would have been nice. Yeah, that would didn't need air conditioning. Snowplow would have been good. You know, we just found out that there were things that... and you found out something on my way to pick up this lady at 26. I went to get this lady, and I got rear-wheel drive. I got a big old Mercury Marquis, and it's got rear-wheel drive, and I'm out there, and I'm going on this, on the road that I took most of you to, I brought in, and it's trees everywhere, and I'm going. And there's cars from the 25th when it happened. There's cars all over. Just, it must have been, I'll bet you 50 cars are put in that 6 or 7 miles I went, off in a ditch, four-wheel drive. Didn't make any difference what you had. Couldn't see the sign. You couldn't see road. You couldn't see sign. Nothing. It was just big trees. They were, the trees that weren't broke or laying in the middle of the road were bent over like a big bale. I've never seen fir trees, evergreens, bent like it, clear to the ground. Because what had happened, it had rained real hard, then ice, and then snowed. And it just brought them down. I mean, it just was, it was pretty awful. And I said, I got to get to the airport. I got a lady at the airport waiting for me. And I got so far, and boy, I finally said, I don't think this is working. And then a guy come by in a four-wheel drive coming this way, and I stopped him. I says, how's the look ahead? Because, I mean, I was just barely going. He says, you're on the best part of it now. He says, they're cutting trees trying to get 18-wheelers through. He got stuck up there. So I said, well, I'm going back. I'll find me another way. And took about 10 minutes, about a good 10 minutes, to get turned around. Man, I was 3 inches this way. I said, good, once my wheels get off of here. They only had three tracks. They had a right track, the center track, I mean, one wheels, next wheel, and then another one. So when you met, you kind of had to move out of nowhere, you know, for it to pass. Because these trees were just out there. I mean, you can't see them now because it's so green. But boy, right afterwards, you'd be down there. They were just, when they cut them, and I-30 was, the interstate was the same way. Because I got back and finally got on the edge. It took me half an hour to get off the on-ramp onto the interstate. Couldn't get there. And they were cutting trees up there trying to get traffic through. But I learned, you know, a few things that no matter what you're driving, doesn't guarantee you're going to get through on your own. Because I saw a lot of four-wheel drives off. And here I am, this big old clunker with a rear-wheel drive, and I'm trying to keep them slipping. I'm running in second gear, because the rear runs slow. And I'm trying to keep them from just going off. And it tossed. I kept seeing these cars. I said, isn't that, that's amazing. I said, I'll bet that's how it is in the spirit, too. Sometimes you can't really rely on what you're driving. Can't rely on what you think you've got. Because when the storm comes, he's going to test everything. And only what he's got in you is going to survive. But it's not only going to survive, it's going to thrive. It's going to go forward. It's going to take territory where the enemy says, it's impossible. Although he knows it isn't. He knows it isn't because he knows his time is short. So he knows it's not impossible. But he is saying, they don't know that. So I'll just convince them that it is impossible, and that'll stop all that. And see, if he's giving you a really bad time, it's because he's terrified of you. Jesus, quiet. He's terrified of you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you're not a threat to him, he ain't going to bother you. You don't have to worry about demons or nothing. He couldn't care. He's going to waste time on somebody. It's like he's got a machine gun, and there's some guy there with nothing. He's really concerned about him. No, but the guy's got a bazooka. Now, that's a guy he might want to do something to. He might want to get him to where he believes he doesn't have what he has so he can take what he... Because this guy is pressing him. This guy is going to hurt him. And that's how it is with you. If you really got problems, it's because you're really a threat. Now, we look in the mirror and say, you're lying to me. You know, but we're not talking about in our own abilities. You know, we're not talking about in our own strength. We're talking about Him moving through us. Him reaching out, and you know, God says, Jesus said, pray for your enemies, but He never said to pray for God's enemies. And God has enemies. And He hates them with an eternal hate that will never end. And the sad thing is that a lot of people are going to become part of that group. Everybody's moving somewhere. Everybody's moving somewhere. Everybody's going some direction. Nobody's standing still. Even when we think we're standing still, we're not. Because God's always moving forward. So if we're standing still, we're really going backwards because He's getting farther from us. That's a novel concept. Now, when you're standing still thinking you're kind of cool, I'm kind of off on the side now, no pressure, and this, I like this, I'll camp right here. You know, you're getting farther and farther away because He's still moving on. He didn't stop and say, well, wait until you get ready. That's what we think. See, as we think we can take vacations from this stuff, and He doesn't move on, but He does. And then we find ourselves two places, we're out there we can't get back, or we're out there and convince ourselves that we never really left, which is really a bad deception. It's really bad because we do all the things that the people that we see did go on do in our own strength. And we convince ourselves that we're really all right. It was like some friends that I had one time, and they kind of got into this situation. They really did. They really did. And the Lord showed me one day this. Like I said, minding my own business, praying, and He showed me this their living room, and they had this big, you call them drapes and the glass and all that, and they had a big cord you pull down. If you had a lot of money, having a cord, you pull it down, the butler comes right, You remember, you saw it. Well, they used to have the old movies when they had that. You pull it down in the movie, and the butter just showed right up. And this is how, every time they had a need, you just show them, every time they need, just pull that thing down, and the butler just got right there, and they got to take it. It was wonderful for a long time. And then one day, and it's just like he shot this thing up, and then one day, they go in there, and had a need, going to pull that thing, and the thing come off in their hand. Can you imagine that? Boom! And the whole thing is hanging in your hand. And the problem is that they don't know how to get in touch with the butler. They pulled this thing. This is what they did, and he jumped. And with this thing in my hand, how do I have no, this is the only connection I have. And there's a lot of us finding, well, this is the only connection we have with God. And we're pulling when we want something. I'm telling you, listen, if you're not hearing from God, it isn't because God's not talking. It's because we don't want to hear. Oh, we want to listen, but we don't want to hear what he has to say. We don't want him pulling us up and telling him, I'm not happy with that. We don't want him to put the glory on us. He said, well, I'm not happy with that right there. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. There is to me. I said, well, it's not bothering me. He said, well, it's bothering me. Oh, gee. You know, now what do I do? I'm not hearing from God, folks. Can you pray for me? Can you get a word from God for me? Be sure, you know, and I'll let you know if I agree with it. And if it doesn't, I'll go to another person until I find it. We have it on the phone, son. They call. You know you're in a list when they call. They say, oh, I thought I already called you. You know you're on a list. And they'll call until they finally get an answer, and they get the answer they want. And hallelujah, the Lord answered. 19th call. I finally got it. It's terrifying because you put yourself in a position where there's no help. In our context, the restoration of those things that were, for one reason or another, either got lost, or they're not released, or they haven't been fulfilled. There's three places. They could have got lost for a lot of reasons. Most of them don't have to do with sin. Some of them, sometimes they do, could have. But they don't have to. We just get lax. God doesn't move fast enough. God doesn't move me fast enough. God doesn't open up my doors and I want to open fast enough. Even though he's promised me. He's just not, I should be out there. Listen, when I got reclaimed, and I mean reclaimed, and got married, we thought that within 3 years we'd be out. So 35, almost 40 years later, we finally moved. You know, but we were sure that within 3 years we'd be out because of what God has spoken to us. We would be out there in it. And, well, we kept waiting and nothing was happening. And finally, you know, I said, you know, I can't make this thing happen. I can't fulfill it. You're going to have to do it. And you can see where Abraham, you get in a place, and you get in a place where you're not in unbelief, and you're not saying it ain't ever going to happen. You just finally get in a place and say, if it does happen, God is going to have to be the one that makes it happen. No longer it's going to be dependent upon, like Abraham, you know, when I'm able to or not. It's not going to depend on that at all. It's going to have, God is going to have to do it. And you kind of relax. The problem that most of us have is we get to a place that we don't think it'll ever happen. You know? And then the enemy says, well, yeah, you know, if you hadn't acted this way, you'd still have that. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, you're not prophesying much, but if you hadn't have done this, and you know you did it, it's gone now. It's gone. I remember somebody telling me about how God had used it in a certain way. Really had used it. But it got so heavy on the person that finally the person just said, God, take it away. I can't deal with it anymore. I cannot do it this way anymore. And God did. And then 25 years later, the person is crying. You can see it. Because he doesn't have it anymore. And he sees other people who are moving along this line. And he knows he had it. But he said, I asked God to give it away. Take it away from me. I couldn't do it. See, but God is saying, but I'm not done. I want to restore that thing to you. But you've got to believe that I am who I am. And I don't. I pull things back because I answered your prayer. But not forever. But you have to want it. You have to want it back. And it has to be me operating at this time and not you. It can't be you operating it for me. It has to be me operating it through you. Otherwise, why would I do that? And we really get down to that point. God, why would you do that? If I'm going to take it and do the same thing I did the last time, why would you even bother to do it? And he says, that's a good question. Yeah. We're not talking about rebellion, backsliding, or sin, even though they may have something to do with it. We're just talking about things that were promised to you. Do you know God spoke to you? Whether he said, hey, or whether You just felt it inside you. You felt a burden somewhere. You felt drawn to some particular type of ministry or some particular place within the body of Christ. Lots of times you move, and boy, you can move. I mean, you move physically, boy, everything changes. You're in a new congregation, and things are different. They got different emphasis, and you get into it, and especially, you know, if you volunteer, because you know how they like volunteers, and if you volunteer, they get you so busy that you lose what you had. You just don't have time for it anymore. It kind of goes away, and then I want you to wake up one morning and say, I don't have it. So naturally, the enemy said, well, yeah, it's your fault, of course, you know. You know, why don't you condemn yourself for a while? He said, why are you condemning me? No, he said, I don't condemn you. I just want you to. I like it better when you do it yourself. I can stand back and laugh. If I have to condemn you, I got to stand there and do it. He said, no, I accuse you before him. I don't accuse you to you. I just convince you to accuse yourself. Then I can sit back here and giggle and say, what an idiot. He doesn't have a clue who he is. Doesn't have a clue what power he has against me. Boy, I like a... Like Pastor Cho said when he was dealing with his demon, and he could hear the demon saying, he's a green bean. And what he meant by it, he don't have no experience. If we just hold out, he's going to give up. And he said, I was a green bean. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I got into this. But here I am when he's fighting these things. And he said, but the Holy Ghost, he was there with me, and he kept encouraging me, keep fighting, keep fighting. Anyway, in the end, it worked out fine. But he said, you know, they knew me. They knew I was a green. I had no experience. That's what he meant by green meat. He's got no experience. If we just resist, he'll give up. Because that's the only hope they have, that you give up. They don't have the power against you. They just do not have it. But if you give up, they win. We capitulate. You know, we surrender. They got it. They usurped it by using us to do it. Terrible. All right. If you're one of the following, you qualify not only for the restoration of that which has been lost, as we see in Jeremiah 30:17, which is, I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. If you feel like an outcast, like nobody understands you, man, are there any people like me, or am I the only one in Zion? I'm the only one in Israel. Now they're after me. That's it. Am I the only one? Boy, that's easy to feel these days. If you're one God, you could stand in a church with 500 people and be the only one there. And that's the truth. I'm not fooling. You could be in a big church, bigger church, the worse, you know, and you feel like nobody understands what you're talking about. You know, you're clueless. They're just wondering, you're wondering. And then he says, of course, you must be wrong. Everybody else can't be wrong, even though they are. He says, and many times you feel like you're standing alone, like you're all by yourself. And you know, we hear that a lot here, you know, with people that come, you know. Is there any places that teach deliverance? Are there any places I can get help where I'm at? And Patty goes through, tries to find places and people that can help, that are within reach, you know. But many times there aren't. Just you do the best you can, you know. Try to get them here. But a lot of these people are in foreign countries. See, a lot of them are in foreign countries. It's amazing. You feel misunderstood. Not only by the world, but many, most of the times by our own brothers and sisters in the Lord. Do you feel misunderstood by people you were once in fellowship with, and now you don't seem to have anything in common at all? And I'm not talking about just baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about spirit-filled people, and you don't feel like they have anything in common. It's because you're part of the chosen. We don't mean as a spiritual giant. We don't mean by somebody special in the body, like, well, I'm a super, you know. But because you're here on this earth by the sovereign will of God, you are chosen. You're chosen for this day and this time, or you wouldn't be here. That does not make you super. That just makes you in. You are in. Now, you can be out while you're in, you know, but that's to your own hurt, you know. But you're in. You are in. So quickly, I don't know if I used to get hit with that, well, I'm the call, but probably not the chosen. I said, get out of here, you know. You don't want to be chosen because responsibility goes with it. If I'm chosen for this time, then I better straighten my act up and try to find out what God wants from me. Yeah. I better be where he wants me to be, and I better be doing what he wants me to do, and he's probably not fooling around. And I may have to answer to it. You know, maybe I can't do the things my friend does over here. He don't know what he is. That's his problem. But see, if I know, you're not going to have to answer to God. I ain't going to answer to, you know, I'm not going to answer to you. I'm going to answer to him. You ain't going to be there. The people that run you down and badmouth you are not going to be there. You're going to answer to him. And you're only going to answer to him for what he tells you to do. So don't let anybody quote Bible verses on you and tell you what you got to do or prophesy and tell you what you got to do. I'm telling you, people go crazy doing this stuff because we don't really want to hear what God has to say. Because he may not tell us to go to Africa. He may say, hey, you know, I don't like the way you're talking. I don't like how loose you get with those worldly people. I don't like you staying when they're joking. You don't get up and walk away. You stay there and let them finish that joke instead of getting up and walking out. Oh, I just love them too much. No, you don't love them at all. They need to see the truth. And it's in you. And that's how I want to speak it. And I don't want to speak it by saying it. I speak it by action. And you need to do something. If they're offended, wonderful. They need to be offended because they don't wake up unless they're offended. If it doesn't go against our grain, we don't ever pay attention to it. Sometimes, he desires to restore those things to you that we either lost or have fallen down by carelessness. We get careless. You know, there's a, the scripture, without a vision, people perish. I have another one I add to it. I wrote it myself. Without a progressive vision, the people grow careless. And that's, I find it to be so true. We get, oh, not careless, pardon me. Without a progressive vision, the people become complacent. That's what it is. See, and it's so easy, and then it's a little compromise. This is something you wouldn't have done 6 months ago. Oh, well, for the sake of peace. I just want to be at peace with everybody. And we do something. And then, that's just one little, now we stop going forward. And we took a little step here. Little teeny step. Then there's another little step. And 6 months from now, we're out there shooting pool and drinking beer and wondering how that happened. Just one step at a time. One step at a time. Sometimes by new vision. Boy, I had a friend of mine got involved with a vision. And he had a church, and we were in his church, and he had a church and a home. And I go in and has this huge, humongous printing press from San Francisco, from Simpson Bible College. They bought a new one, and this friend of his had this vision about printing stuff for the world. And he talked Ernie into going in with him, and they bought it, and had Ernie's house. And then the brother got another vision, and went. And there's Ernie with his big old press, sitting in his basement. I mean, huge. It was for Bible college. And there he was looking. I think I just got reclaimed, but I know better than that. I tell you that. That's not the program, you know. I don't know whatever happened to it. But see, he got involved in someone else's vision, became a part of it. It wasn't his vision because I'll tell you, years later, he somehow got on the radio, somehow, and got on the, what do they do overseas? Shortwave. And he had a ministry opened up in Africa from a little house on Russell Street in San Francisco. And nobody knew who he was. He was a barber. You know, nobody. But I'm telling you, they knew in Africa. Wonderful spirit. Oh, I mean, really wonderful spirit. And he became big, and some people never didn't like it. His wife didn't like it. Really. He got too popular, and nobody listened to her anymore. That's really what happened. Anyway, but he got this huge printing press. And he knew what to do. See, because when you get out there, and you do something, and you get caught, God don't say, well, here, come over here. He just lets you stew. You know, somehow you're going to need that room and that press is there. You got to get rid of it. You need to seek God and find out what do I do now? God, get me out of this thing. I don't care what happens. Burn the thing. Do something with it. Get it out of here. I know I'm wrong, even though it was something that, you know, another brother got into and it might have been fine. But see, that other brother, he got another vision. He moved on here. And we took some other people with him. You know, don't get involved in other people's visions. Unless God brings you there. He brings you there and brings you under, be there. But just don't let people do that to you. Sometimes you get new responsibilities. And they so overwhelm you, you get in and you know, oh yeah, I'll take the offering. Pretty quick, you're doing this, doing that, and you're looking around. How did I get into all this stuff? I have a friend of mine did that. We went to his church and they were looking for, what was it, for something. Some little menial jobs. Yeah, he never really had anything with anybody. So, you know, and he got in, and boy, before I knew it, he was feeding the poor, which is fine, but he didn't have any time for his wife. He was, every day they had him out there doing something because there's a big church and they maybe had 15, 20 people who got men who really, they could really use. Everybody else was not going near that stuff. So when they got you, they got you. They had him, and the poor guy, you know, he was... It was brutal because he was so bondage, he didn't know what to do. At all. At all. Sometimes it has to do with sin and rebellion. I mean, it does. And just face it. Sometimes it does. Sometimes we just get, we rebel in one area, boy, and it carries over and cuts out some things in another area. God said, how can I bless this thing? You're rebellious over here. How can I bless that? How can I move on with you? How can I let you go out there and do that stuff when this stuff over here is going on? I can't do it. We see a lot of that today. You know, we see a lot of it. The thing, here's another one. The thing that God's given to you may, in your eyes, have become too heavy for you to carry. God tells you to go in the hospital and pray for Joe, and on the way out, you pray for 30 people. By the end of the time, you're like this. You know, God didn't tell you to pray for 30 people. He told you to pray for Joe. But hallelujah. You know, and when you walk out of there, you're so sad you can't move. Can't take care of anything because you've been so far beyond what God was requiring. You know. To be spiritual, of course. And you know Jesus wants to heal all of you. How do you know that? How do you know who He wants to heal? You know when He lets you know. You know, when you pray for somebody and you know, you don't have to worry about whether they're going to get healed or not. You know you're not doing it. You know you don't have a responsibility. We lay hands. Oh, wait a minute. My hand ain't touching anybody and doing anything. Either He heals them or they don't get healed. I'm just obedient. Had that at Sam's with a friend. And she went with little cart things. Those things that Sam would do, the samples, and came up and said, well, how you doing? Well, I really don't feel good, but I got to stand here. You know, I can't leave, but I really feel... I said, well, you know, I'm thinking, well, I'm a minister. I'll pray for you. Yeah, no big deal. And I'm feeling, zip, nada. I mean, I'm just going to, you know, how could I say no? She knows I'm a minister. How could I say no? I ain't going to pray for you. So I better volunteer. I'll look bad. Can't look bad. So I pray for her, and I just pray, you know, oh, Lord, touch her, hallelujah, see ya, go give me some ice cream. And I come back next week, and says, boy, she says, that was really a great prayer. What prayer? You prayed for me when I was sick, when I was real sick. I said, yeah. He says, the Lord healed me right away. I almost collapsed. He did? Yeah. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Walking in the anointing, you know. I didn't feel nothing. Nothing. I mean, I didn't feel bad or I didn't neutral where I was at. And I said, you know, you got to do this. Oh, well, that's your Lord, neighbor, hallelujah. Get my ice cream. And God just moved in there and did it. You know, just did it. Didn't even ask. Just. And then sometimes, hallelujah, I'll pray. I'm ready. See, that's the problem. The next time, well, hallelujah. And I do all this mumbo jumbo, and nothing happens. Of course, you know, I'm waving things on them, and I'm doing this, and putting them down. Get down! Do you feel like falling? Get down! The Lord's going to touch you. I had that, and I can say this, and I'll say it because people on the internet know this. We were at the Pensacola, and had a wonderful time. Came back, and they were having all this impartation stuff. So I went, before I left, the Lord just spoke to me about 3 days before, and He says, just nice, quiet, peaceful, mind my own business. He says, this is not my way for you. I said, what? This is not my way for you. He didn't say, it's wrong, it's not right. It's not my way for you. In other words, boy, you're not getting nothing easy. Nobody's going to lay their hands on you and get you in. You want it? You climb that mountain. So we go and have a great time. We come back. And so we get prayed for, of course. The pastor's imparted, you know. Well, I knew I wasn't imparted about anything. So I come with this one person and her lady. Okay, lady. Anyway, and I come up there and she said, and I didn't give my hand to her. Boom! She went down. I said, get up off that ground, lady. Nothing happened to you. Okay, pastor. She was so anticipating lightning was going to come on my fingertips, and then I didn't get my hand to it. And she went down. She just went. I mean, God didn't have to do anything to her. She went because she was anticipating going. So when I got near her, she went. I said, get off the floor. Because nothing had happened. But she felt like it should happen. It's supposed to happen. He must have got this stuff when he went. That's what they went there for, to get this stuff, which we didn't. But anyway, you know, that it had to happen. And sometimes we get that way to where somebody gets close to us, you know, and we're so hungry. We're so starved for whatever we think that person can impart or get, that we're just wide open. And sometimes it's not good. We used to tell the people in our church, I tell them, you don't have to let anybody lay hands on you, ever. Never. If anybody comes up to you that you're not comfortable with, you just tell them, your pastor is over you, he's your covering, and he will lay hands on me if I need hands laid on me. Leave it on me, get my phone number, and they can call me. But you don't have to, because you just don't know what's running out. And that's why we have it here, about these private meetings and hallelujah and all this stuff. Because there have been things that have happened that have been real bad, and some people have had their lives literally wrecked over it. And if something happened in the cabin over here down there by the creek, then you don't know nothing about it at all. Nothing about it at all. And then we get bad mouths for it. Well, at your camp, look what happened at your Bible camp, you know. Like we're in charge and we're down there sitting down with everybody, but we're not, you know. And that's why they have those rules. It's to protect people. Yeah. It really is, because you just, we don't know. You know, we just don't know. So you just have to stay with what you got and make sure you try to protect everybody. It's our responsibility while we're here to protect you, sometimes from yourself. You get that? Sometimes, you know. We just have to protect everybody we can. You paid your money to come here. You didn't come here for free. A lot of you came here and paid sacrifice. So you deserve to get everything there is here, and all good stuff, not other stuff. And we certainly don't want you to ever get anything that God doesn't have for you. He wants to restore to you, because what He gave you and what He offered you in the beginning was necessary to His plan then. It's necessary now. His gifts and callings are without repentance. There's no time frame to where, okay, well, you know, you kind of let it go, so that's it for you. There's none of that with God. He wants to begin, especially now in this time, to begin to restore to you the things that He promised you. The things you may have had. Listen, you may have a gift of prophecy that just flowed like a river. And then all at once, through whatever, don't even know how, just kind of dried up for years. It's never been happening. Listen, He wants to restore it now because it hasn't changed. Today is the day. We are in a time when He's going to bring all this back together. It says, it's just as critical now to fulfilling His purpose as it was then. Maybe more. Here's a very good starting point. I'll give you a good starting point. In Isaiah 1:16, it says, wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away your evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. And this is a thing I teach all the time. We're always trying to cease to do evil and do good at the same time. He doesn't say it. He says, cease to do evil. Try just don't doing anything wrong for a day. See how that works for you. If you think you got any problems. Just try not getting angry for a day. He says, cease. Stop doing that stuff. Then learn to do well. And the word well means to be mature, to come into a place to where you're walking better than you are now. Learn. In Hebrews 5, at the end, it talks about those that are our sons are those who have matured through learning by their experiences. They've learned how to get better. They've learned how to grow up. It didn't just happen one morning they woke up grown up. They learned as they went along through the experiences of life. They're all there to teach us. They're not there to hurt us. They're there to teach us. He's got great plans for you, whether you believe it or not. It's immaterial. He's got them anyway. And He's going to bring them to pass. The problem is whether we'll survive them or not. If we're not prepared, what will we do with those things when He brings them? We need to begin to say, Lord God, and rehearse them to Him. You know, He'll never get offended if you rehearse the things He said to you. Lord, 40 years ago you told me this. Now, where is it? You know, I've been waiting 40 years. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And I'm not saying demanding, and I'm not saying asking for something He's never promised. I'm just telling you to start calling out those things. Remind Him. You know, God loves to be reminded. I'm saying, well, He knows everything. Well, that's another story. I'm going to teach that on that sometimes. But He loves to be reminded. You know, you promised me, Lord, he'll never get tired of hearing that from you. He knows you're thinking about him. Not just yourself. Because what he's promised is not just for you. It's always for others. He always sees you, and then he sees through you. He sees the lost in the church. He sees the lost outside the church. It's always for others. In Jeremiah 30:17, it says, and I'm going to try to wrap this thing up very quickly. I restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. So he promises you health. I'm not talking about divine health. I'm talking about the healing of wounds, both physical and spiritual. He wants to heal your wounds. He wants you whole, so that you'll be a whole person in his army. That you'll be someone he can use without having physical and spiritual distractions, because he'll all take away from what he has to do through you. Listen and take heart to the do's and don'ts. Isaiah 58:6. Is this not the fast I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that thou... And I look at all this stuff as spiritual, so I don't look at it as natural. I look at spiritual stuff, because, boy, I'm telling you, they're feeding everybody out there, but I'm telling you, spiritually, the church is starving. Starving. It says in the... When thou seest nakedness, that you cover him. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. And I mean, and to me, that means, brothers and sisters in the Lord, don't hide yourself from him. Don't be used by him. Don't be an enabler. God help you if you're an enabler. And I'll tell you, the church is full of enablers. You know, we enable people to stay in their position by answering their needs instead of leaving them in God's hand for him to answer them. We do that all the time. He says, then God shall answer your prayer. The Lord will guide thee. He'll satisfy your soul in a drought, in a times when there's no food. He'll satisfy you. You'll be a repairer. You'll be a repairer of the breach and restorer of paths and dwelling. You'll be able to show people the way. In closing, we go back. And after this, I'll return. I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I'll build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men may seek the Lord. And I'm telling you, that means in the church as much as out of the church. We need a seeking of God in the church, by the church. The church is not seeking God. We're seeking prosperity or something. We're not seeking Him. There's no fear of God in the church.
Amen.
I told Jeremy, I said, well, he was she speaking there tonight. I said, you know, God dropped something in my heart. It was really weird. He said, what was it? Thank you, Lord, for them senior moments. He said, the fear of fear. I said, the fear of fear. I said, what kind of thing?
I rebuke you, devil.
No, the fear of fear. He says, yes. He says, because if you have the fear of fear, you will never fear me. If you have the fear of fear, you will never have the fear of the Lord. I thought, what an interesting concept that is. It's true. If you have fear of fear, he says, you'll never fear me then. And I thought, boy, oh boy. A lot of us get real afraid sometimes, boy. We put you right in that category. Because we act like we want to in church. Pretty much act like we want to in our lives. And you just kind of go on. You know, Jesus said that he came to overcome the works of the devil. And he did. But today he wants to overcome the works of the devil too. But he wants to do it through you. He says, I don't want you to overcome the works of the devil. I want to overcome the works of the devil through you myself. Will you set me free? Will you let me be free to walk and talk? You know what I'm talking about. You know when you're not right. You know when you feel the Spirit moving in you and you pull back and tighten up and turn the other way. You know. Will you set me free? Will you let me reach out and overcome the devil and overcome the flesh and overcome the world today in you as I did back then? I can't do it any other way. I want to do it through you. But I want to do it myself through you. You don't have to do it. Just let me do it. Set me free so that I can do the thing that my Father sent me here to do in the first place. That would destroy the works of the devil. And you can see they're not destroyed yet. So he says, I've still got a work to do. And I want to do it through you. Each one of you. I want to do it through you. In your little place that you are, I want to be free to destroy the works of the devil. I want to bring my kingdom to the people. I want the people to see who I really am. I want the people to see what separation from God really means. I want them to see because they see the real thing. Not this sloppy agape stuff we see now, but the real thing. The real thing that says straight up, you know, it's wrong. The real thing that says to the guy in the land of the shopping cart, you know, you're in the wrong line. You probably didn't realize that. Not, you're in the wrong line, buddy, get out. You know, but gives the real thing. Gives, because that's how he would do it. He would never walk up to him and say, hey, you're out of line. He would be cordial. And then if they enter smart, he'd still be cordial. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think you knew. Obviously, you wouldn't do it if you knew. You know, the right spirit. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for helping me, Jesus. Need a little help. We're not there yet, Lord, but we see that there's a calling. You're calling back to remembrance. You're saying, remind me. Remind me of what I said to you. Remind me of what I promised. Remind me of the urgency of the time. Cause me to get up, to arise, and come and begin to restore to you. Not what the canker worm took, because he sent that army because of their rebellion. It was his army. That's not the army we're talking about. We're talking about things that we got rid of, things that we let go of. Not that any enemy came and stole from us. We let them go. We can't blame the enemy for this. It's us, Lord. We're repenting in our hearts, Father. We're repenting in our hearts. We're sorry, but we can't live in the past. We can't go back there and rewrite whatever it was. But you said that's not important. As long as you're repentant, you want to bring those things back. Help us, Lord, to reach out, Lord, to remind you and to believe because you're our Father, because you love us, that you're going to restore to us those things that we let go of. Or bring us into a new day, a day of advancing. And I'm telling you, we're going to bust the back of the devil. We're going to bust his resistance. He resists because we're pushing. He ain't resisting because we're laying down in bed. He's resisting because we're pushing on him. And he's resisting us because we're the ones that are attacking. He's got like a roaring lion. He got no teeth. He's just got lies and deception. Teach us, Lord, your ways, that we might walk in your paths, that we might fulfill your will, Father, in these last days. Bless his people, Lord. Bless his people, Lord, here and those on the internet, Lord Jesus, and those that have been here this week, Lord. Give them a double portion of your spirit, Lord. God, cause them to rise up and be those you called us to be, those that you saw in your mind's eye before you ever created the worlds. We're so fortunate, Lord, to have your love. So fortunate to have your eye, that you look upon us and you see us through your Son. Bless this food, Lord, as we go to partake, Lord. Be with each one, Lord, as we go home, Lord. This causes us to be lights in the middle of the road. This causes us to be lights. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.